Once again, this morning, we want to consider Emmanuel, or God with us. And last week, we read Isaiah 7:14. And this morning, we want to look at that verse in a little more detail. So if you will, look in Isaiah 7:14. And that will kind of be our place where we study today. Thank you. Look at it. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus who died on the cross for us, Lord, and for who, the fact that we can celebrate his birth and our salvation during this time of year. Now, guide our study today, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. As we did last week, we want to break down this verse into parts and study its meaning. Now, if we were in one of my old English classes, we would call this a verse analysis. An analysis is when you take something apart and look at the parts and hopefully put it back together again in one part. You know, if you're a mechanic, I'm not a very good mechanic. A lot of times I do an analysis of my lawnmower and I take it apart and get it back together, and there's two or three extra parts laying around. And it's really scary when it starts. And you wonder, okay. Anyway, this is more important though. This verse is more important than a lawnmower, or it's more important than some poem by John Milton or someone like that. This verse comes from the Word of God. This verse comes from God himself. So we see, first of all, the Lord. That's what it says. Therefore, the Lord, Adonai. This means that this word is speaking of God himself. In fact, the next word says this. Did you notice it says, "The Lord himself"? Write that word down. The Lord himself. In biblical times, there were many lords. The king of a country was considered a lord. The military leaders were often called lords. The lesser political leaders were considered to be lords. Kind of like the Democrats. I shouldn't say that. But, you know, they... Everyone that had any kind of importance, that was one of their titles. Lord, Lord, Lord. But this Lord, our Lord, that's why we always started his name with a capital L. But in this specific place, this is speaking of God, Adonai, God himself. And that's an important thing. Why is that an important distinction? Because the words that follow come from the mouth of God. Now understand, all of the Bible, every word in it. I was studying another place and for another thing this week, and you know, and Jesus was talking about every little punctuation mark. Everything in the word is eternal. It's from God. So we know that everything in the Word of God is from God. But God here in this place wants to emphasize the truth of this verse so much that He literally says, I say this directly to you. Did you ever see the parent of a small child? And we did this a lot. It didn't always work, but some of you know what I'm talking about. You have a small child, and you get that child, and you kneel down. I was going to kneel down, but I probably wouldn't get back up. And you kneel down, and you say, look at me. And you have them look at you, and you say something, and you say, now, what did I say? You know, how many of you have ever had your parents do that to you? Yeah. And why did they do that? Because it was an important thing. Sometimes, it's almost like a punishment to do that, but most of the time, it's really because the parents really do want you to get and understand what they're saying. And that's what God is doing here. He is saying, look at me. Listen to me. This is important. This is probably the most important news. I'll say it is the most important news and prophecy in the entire Bible. And that's what God's doing here. It's important because God says to us and to the people of Israel, I am going to give you a sign. And literally it means a signal or a beacon. It's interesting, Miss Deborah, you're talking about light. Because that's what this is. When you see that word sign, that literally can be translated in one way as beacon or a light. You know, a monument, evidence. The birth of Jesus, folks, is a wonderful fulfillment of this. Listen to what, and Ms. Deborah's already read some of this, but in Matthew 4:16, it says, the people who lived in darkness have seen a brilliant light. A light has risen for those who live in a land overshadowed by death. And in Matthew 17:2, Jesus' appearance changed in front of them, and His face became as bright as the sun, and His clothes as white as light. Wow. Jesus Himself physically became that way. And then Jesus said in John 18:12, I am the light of the world. And another, we could go on and on, but one more in John 12:48. I am the light that has come into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not live in the dark. I could go on, but it's clear that this prophecy that we're reading in Isaiah about a great beacon, a great light, or a sign that is prophesied by this prophet hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus is about Jesus. So we see that God Himself said that He is going to send a sign into the world, a light into the world. And that light and that sign was, write it down, Jesus. And that's what Christmas is all about. The celebration of the birth of that sign, Jesus, the light of the world. And that brings us to the most important part of the verse, the name. You know, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name. Name. Names in the Bible mean something. Yesterday, I was just kind of, I was kind of doped up because I was taking all this stuff, trying to get myself dried out enough so I could come over here and preach and everything. But I was sitting there and I was watching these football games and I really wasn't watching them. I was kind of like, and I'd get back, and they'd be like 40 points ahead, and all that. But I noticed that they kept saying something about Felix, this guy named Felix. It kept flashing on the screen, Felix, Felix, and I couldn't see the last name in it. And it was Felix Navy Dad. And I was thinking, who is Felix Navy Dad? And I thought, well, Dennis might, and I started to call him because he's a Navy Dad, And finally, my wife said, no, that's Spanish for Merry Christmas, Listen to me. That's important. I mean, there wasn't some guy named Felix, Navy Dad up there. That was a way of wishing people Merry Christmas, because there are a lot of folks in our country that would watch that, and they wouldn't know what Merry Christmas meant, but they would know that. They knew who Felix Navy Dad was, you know. So if you see somebody who is Hispanic, say Felix Navy Dad to them. And that'll really impress them, I can tell you. But it's important that names are important. And in the Bible, names are really important. In the Bible, the reason names are important is because it represents, write this down, positions. Let me give you an example of this. Here is a name that we hear a lot. It's a name. It's the name Christian. How many of you ever heard that name, Christian? Okay. How many of you have that name? If you're saved, you have that name. You know. Now, what's important about that name? Who does that name identify you with? Christ. Now, is that important? It should be. The most important thing in any of our lives should be to be identified as a follower of Christ. We shouldn't have people have to guess whether or not we are a Christian. We should tell them loud and clear that we are, and that will cut down on a lot of issues. We've talked about that. But listen to me. It's very important. That name is important. Christian, that name gives you a specific position in the eyes of God. You are a follower of His Son. And it should give you a specific position in the eyes of the world. Now, to be honest with you, the world doesn't think too highly of Christians anymore. Part of that is because so many people have been false Christians and have used the name of Christian for bad things. And that's why so many Christians and Christian churches are, you know, trying to stray away from that and use other names. But you know what? I'm not going to change my last name because somebody in my family that had my name did something bad. I'm just not going to do that, because there's been plenty of other people that have my last name that have done good things. And I'm not going to change my name because someone else that has my name did something bad. And I'm not going to do that. And we shouldn't, as Christians, either. We should say that name was given to these people as a mockery of them, because they were like Christ, who was killed. And so many of them were killed too. You see, the modern church will seek to minimize this by calling folks things like believers or things like Baptist. You know, they'll say, I'm the member, instead of saying there, I'm a Christian, they'll say, I'm a member of Bethsaida Baptist Church, or I'm the member of the Huntsville Church of Christ, or French Camp Presbyterian Church, or I'm a member of da da da. You know what? Being a member of any of that stuff ain't going to get you to heaven. God's not going to even look at you and say, were you a member of the Bethsaida Baptist Church? Now, I think God honors the fact that you are, and God expects us to be a member of a church, but that's not the main thing. The main name we should carry is the name of Christian. And that's an important thing, because it identifies us with Christ. And that name has power. Write it down. It has power. It has meaning. It gives your position before God and before man. And it is saying to God, I seek to be like Christ. And it says to man, I am not ashamed to name myself with Christ. And we need to stand firm on that. Part of the reason our country's in the mess it is because so many of us mamby-pamby Christians are ashamed to tell people we're Christians. We're afraid we're going to get arrested or made fun of, or, you know, something like that. I don't, you know, that's just silliness. It's cowardice. Names in the Bible denote position. In the case of Isaiah 7:14, it is a name of authority. It is the name of Emmanuel. As we saw last week, That name means God with us. Jesus, God, became a man in order to be with us. And he was with us for a reason. He was with us to die. He gave up his position, write it down. He gave up his position of authority as God in order to die so that we could gain salvation through him. Because all of us have sinned, all of us are lost, everyone in the world, until we come to Jesus. He died on the cross and paid for your sins and my sins. And if we're willing to turn from those sins to him and call upon his name and believe in him, he will save us. And then we can honestly claim that name Christian. And we need to do that. If you've never accepted Jesus, you need to do that. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The Lord sent a sign. A virgin shall have a son, and he shall be given a name, the name of Emmanuel, or God with us. And folks, that's really what Christmas is all about. Are you stressed out? Are you worried about what the world has turned Christmas into? Stuff and rushing and programs and food and decorations and this and that forever and forever and forever. Now, folks, I am not saying there's anything wrong with any of that. I really am not. We decorate our house for Christmas, and my goodness, we eat for Christmas, and yes, we give presents for Christmas, and we do. I'm not saying there's anything evil in that. Here's what's evil: that is wearing everyone out to the extent that most mothers, when Christmas season is over, breathe a sigh of relief that it's finally over. Because we're so busy running, trying to meet and do what all the world says we need to do. It's very, very important. The world has hijacked Christmas, and the world will continue to add to it. And most of the stuff they add to it has nothing to do with God, until it becomes so meaningless and exhausting that we just want to give it up. You know, as I watch television yesterday, of course, all the commercials are on and everything. And, you know, I was pleased because, you know, so many times when I'm watching TV, the shows I watch are all about medicine, you know. And then you read, and most of the medicine stuff I take, and then you read all the side effects and you just get depressed. But, you know, this particularly was about new cars. And all these commercials, and so many of them were about giving yourself something. Christmas is about you. Y'all seen that? Have you noticed that emphasis? It's all about you and giving you something, you know. And it never did used to even be, it didn't used to be that way. Even the secular world, it was more about giving to others. So, you know, you can see it's just a trap. So much of it is. Don't let it exhaust you. It wasn't meant to be that way. The angels brought the message that the baby in the manger, Emmanuel, had come to bring, write this word down, peace to the ones with whom God was pleased, Christians. And somehow we have allowed so many things that we used to celebrate in simplicity and in joy to be hijacked by the world and made busy, busy, busy. Stop allowing the world to steal the joy of the birth of Jesus from you. If you need peace, come to Jesus. Christians, have we gotten so caught up in the world that that we've allowed us it to rob us of our peace, God's peace that Jesus came to bring. Come to Jesus. Let's stand. We're going to look at 175 again and sing a verse or two, kind of as our, I guess you could call it invitation hymn, but it's also kind of a prayer. We're not closing out with this because we still have an offering to take. But pray. And if you don't know Jesus, you don't need to pick up a hymn book. You just need to come on down. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus did come. And help us to simply worship him. And help us to be proud of the fact that we bear his name, Christian. And help us to stand in that and loudly proclaim it to those around us. And help us to share the light of Jesus. We just pray this in Jesus' name.